Patrick DeHaan has joined us a number of times over the years. He is on Twitter at GasBuddyGuy, and with oil and gas prices during normal times, he is the man to go to, let alone when this war continues with Iran. Patrick, always a pleasure. What effect for oil prices, gas, and what you see for the next couple days tied to the president, the Treasury Secretary, Scott Bessent, and this economic D-Day on Iran? What are we seeing so far?
Well, not a whole lot, just a bit more noise, at least specifically from this. But it bears monitoring, especially in an area like Minnesota, where most refineries are nearly exclusively fed by Canadian crude oil. We've already seen some rhetoric from the premier in Ontario, Doug Ford. Actually, I don't think he's premier, but he is talking about potentially cutting electricity, cutting critical minerals to the U.S. And so this could escalate. Obviously, oil is one of those things that Canada sends to us significantly, 4 million barrels a day. And if it escalates, there could be a point where, who knows, if Canada would use that Trump card, no pun intended, and cut off the flow of Canadian oil, that would be extraordinarily risky, and it would likely shut down the entire Great Lakes. So there's nothing happening now on that front. Both countries need each other. The U.S. needs Canada's heavy oil. Canada needs to find a buyer in the U.S., but there is risk there.
So is it too simple to say, if you're living here in Minnesota and you're paying attention to as much as you can nationally and internationally while you're living your life, you might pay a little bit more attention to the Canadian tariffs and how serious this might get compared to what's been going on with Iran, because we're now at about 6 months or so into this conflict?
Yeah, I'd probably say there's more risk. There's more potential shock and awe if something were to happen to Canadian oil than the Strait of Hormuz. The Strait of Hormuz is impactful, as is Ukraine continuing to attack Russian oil refineries, but they don't hold the potential explosiveness that impeding the flow of Canadian oil down to the Great Lakes would have. That would be, you know, I don't even want to mention numbers, but if that becomes reality, that would keep me up at night.
That would be pretty draconian from the Canadians, right? I mean, you would think the president would have to match some of his most dramatic hyperbole with action for that to take place.
Yeah, that again, that would be apocalyptic both for Canadians and for Americans. Potentially, I mean, if we're splitting hairs, it would probably be more impactful to Great Lakes states, but to give you some idea, if the flow of Canadian oil is greatly imperiled or stopped temporarily, every airport in the Great Lakes suddenly is going to have an issue with jet fuel, trucks, diesel. You know, the economy is going to grind to a halt. So you can't underestimate here that because we rely so much on Canadian oil, if that flow stops, refineries have nothing to refine, and then boom, there goes gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel.
The president, the defense secretary yesterday continued to say that we control the strait. On Truth Social today, the president said all mines have either been removed or detonated from the strait. When you look at oil pricing, is there anything at all to reflect that that is an accurate statement?
You know, not so much, at least where we are today. No, I mean, you know, there's a lot of complications in the Middle East. And by the way, you know, this whole situation is kind of evolving, too. It's becoming less about the Strait of Hormuz. I mean, oil in the mid-80s, it was in the mid-80s back in mid-2024 as well, right? And so it's becoming more about Ukraine attacking Russian oil refineries. And again, I'm not stating my political stance, nor am I trying to, but the reality of it is that these refineries being knocked offline in Russia is having a major impact because you can't build a refinery overnight. If a refinery goes offline because of attacks, how many times have I come on your show and said, well, refinery this or that? Because you can't repair these facilities overnight, and Russia right now is not able to export diesel, and that's why diesel's well above $5 a gallon in most of the country, is in part because Ukraine is attacking refineries.
It's hard to speculate on this. But let's say Ukraine and Russia still is taking place, including with the resilience that Ukraine continues to show. But the Iran war didn't happen. Can you project where we be at with oil and gas prices?
Oh, boy. That's next to impossible. I think the Iran war right now is probably adding somewhere in the ballpark of, you know, call it 15 to 35 cents a gallon. I think more recently, and depending on gasoline or diesel, gasoline is probably 30 to 50 cents a gallon impacted by Ukraine's attacks on Russia, and diesel may be north of a dollar a gallon, specifically just because of Ukraine attacking Russian refineries. So the Strait of Hormuz is kind of shrinking in terms of what's driving or keeping oil, keeping gasoline and diesel so much higher. Oil's elevated, but at $85 a barrel today, like I said, that's the same price we saw summer of 2024.
Yeah.
The big disconnect right now is Ukraine and Russia. And that's why, by the way, refineries are operating at 97%, because refineries are doing extraordinarily well. Because guess what? You can't build one overnight. So the refineries that are online are doing very well, mostly in part because Ukraine is knocking offline other refineries overseas.
Couple last points with Patrick DeHaan, Gas Buddy guy. Follow him on Twitter. Great for us. A texter says, let's go back to the Canada situation, that this tit-for-tat goes even more so it doesn't get to that apocalyptic scenario you talked about. But would Canada ever consider, and could they, and God knows how the president would react, would we ever see states, especially ones close to the Canadian border like Minnesota here, try to negotiate separately just from the United States of America?
I don't think that's possible because of the nature of federal pipelines. The federal hazardous pipeline, essentially, and I'm trying to remember the acronym here, the federal oversight between the Keystone pipeline is really what governs that pipeline's activity. So, no, you really couldn't have a different go at it. The feds would have control over a pipeline that crosses international borders, such as the Keystone pipeline that does bring oil down to Minnesota. And really, you know, nothing short of another pipeline. I mean, this is international, so everything there touches the Fed's authority.
Yeah.
So I don't think there's a way that Minnesota could go around that, because anything that crosses the border instantly, you know, goes to the federal level.
Last thing, outside of what we stated already with Canada, with Russia, Ukraine, with Iran, is there anything else that's coming in the next few weeks that will alter gas prices, which is worth us discussing before I let you go?
Probably won't alter in a great way, but the changeover back to cheaper winter gasoline is right around the corner. And along with it, as schools reopen, Americans start to stay closer to home and get back into the grind. So it's not because of the election. Gas prices almost every year fall into October, into November, and
right.
It has everything to do with seasonality.
Great stuff. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Patrick DeHaan, that is such a good point, because you go back to different elections, Dave, where it does drop, and if you're a Trump supporter or if you're Trump himself, look at what Joe Biden is doing. He is manipulating the gas prices. Then when it happens in the next month or so, leading up to the election, when the Republicans are fighting a bit of an uphill battle, much like any party does in an off election, and clearly the president's popularity is in the tank. Guess what we're going to hear? Donald Trump's policies have lowered the gas prices.
It's true. Prove me wrong.
Yeah, it is amazing that we can manipulate the same data. It's classic.
Just listen to Patrick. As he's always said, how much influence does a president and the president's general policies have on gas prices?
Not much.
Very little.
Not much.
When you start a war
right.
in Iran.
But even then, I thought it was telling when he said, when I asked him, I go, I know it's hard, but let's say there's no Iran war. We still have Ukraine. We still have Canada. 15 to 35%
I was expecting a much bigger number.
I think almost every listener thought a buck.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
I just paid $4 a gallon. You're telling me it would have been $3.85, $3.70?
Yeah. And he also just said for oil prices 2 years ago, about the same.
Yeah.
That doesn't, for me, condone the ineptitude of the Iran conflict and the utter nonsense with the tariffs. I'd like us to stand up to China or Russia one time, as opposed to Canada and South Korea. That's funny how I am, but that's not going to happen.
It's nice to know the refineries are doing very well, though. Had the note yesterday, we saw Exxon
160
pulling
million
a day.
A day. It's good to be Exxon. Hit the thing.